Morning. It's been a blessing already this morning. I was encouraged with the word of God that was shared. I was inspired and motivated and encouraged by the pure word of God. The title this morning is Not Ashamed. Sometimes I struggle with the fear of man. And I get nervous with public speaking. But the title of our message this morning is Not Ashamed. I'm not ashamed of a God that delivers hostages. I'm not ashamed of a God that creates the universe and that places man on planet Earth. I'm not ashamed this morning of a God that can take a broken sinner and change him into a saint. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so grateful that you came to planet Earth, that you walked this path that we've walked. Lord, you know the shame that you took for our sins. And Lord, we're so grateful this morning that you have delivered us from the bondage of sin. And Lord, I just pray that you would open the gates of heaven this morning and send your Spirit upon us. Lord, I pray that the Word of God can go forth and bring forth fruit for the kingdom and for the salvation of souls of men. So Lord, we ask that you would deliver any of us from our sins, if any of us have any sin in our life. Lord, that you would set us free. Lord, it was a long time that those hostages were in bondage for 2 months. It seemed like a long time. Maybe we lost hope, but Lord, we're thankful to you that you're a great God. And Lord, we ask that the power of that you have available would come and meet us today. And Lord, just guide my thoughts, guide my words. We ask your blessing on this message. We pray in the worthy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is Romans chapter 1, verse 16. A few weeks ago, this verse caught my attention. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For a little foundation, we're going to be looking at 3 points here. We're going to be looking at the word ashamed. We're going to be looking at the word gospel and also the word power. So for a little foundation, before we continue, you can turn to Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God, verse 7, Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In other words, he just took some mud and he breathed the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Drop down to verse 22. After he formed man, he decided that man needs a helpmeet. And then he took a rib, which the Lord God hath taken from man, made he woman, and brought her unto the man. Verse 25, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Can you imagine? They weren't ashamed of each other. Let's turn to Genesis 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. So their eyes were open, and they saw their nakedness, and they were ashamed. They felt guilty after they ate from that fruit. So in the beginning, God created man, and there was no shame. They weren't ashamed of each other. But after they were deceived and ate of the forbidden fruit, they became naked. Their eyes were open. They became ashamed. Sometimes I wonder, when people feel ashamed at home, when they're not prepared, and maybe we're not clothed the best, we feel embarrassed and ashamed. But then we go to the beaches and the public swimming places, and for some reason, we don't feel any shame. But when we're at home, we feel shame. If we're in our pajamas, we feel shame when someone comes to the door. But then we would go to a public place and we would expose our bodies. Why is there a difference? So somewhere along the line, man was unashamed. But then that connection, that pureness, that cleanness, that innocence was broken. Something went terribly wrong in the Garden of Eden. Has anything ever went wrong for you? Has there ever been a time that something went wrong for you and you felt embarrassed? It sure has for me. I've slipped up a lot of times, more than not. We believe in the Trinity. We believe and we teach, and the Scripture says there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Scripture also says that we're body, soul, and spirit. I thought of an illustration that most of you will connect with. How many of you have ever had a vehicle and the transmission went out? Or how many of you have ever had a standard and the gearbox or the clutch gave out? A few years ago, at the company I work, we purchased a vehicle. It's a blue Acadia. From the very beginning, it seemed like the transmission was sensitive. It seemed a bit like maybe there is a weakness, and yet it couldn't quite be identified. Couldn't quite put her fingers on it. But as time went on, it was pretty evident that the transmission is not engaging. It was pretty evident. But yet we kept driving it. We drove it for years. But it got worse and worse, and it became weaker and weaker. And so, I don't know how it was for the rest of them, but I would avoid driving it in fear that it would break down in my possession. If I was driving and it would break down, would I feel responsible? But then, as we kept driving it, you kind of learn, you know, all of a sudden it feels like it's not in gear, and then you kind of play with the, what do you call that? It's not a shifting state. What do you call that thing when you put it in and out of gear? Shift lever. Yeah, so when you're going down the road and all of a sudden you feel you're hardly going up the hill, you play with that shift lever. Sometimes you just coast off to the shoulder and you put it in reverse and you play around and then, hey, it'll go again. You can go another 10 miles. A few times my daughter was driving it and she'd call me, oh, it feels like I'm not going anywhere. Well, I'll just put it in first or second gear once and, you know, and just kind of, we just sort of kept going on that way. Some years ago, I had a standard truck that I missed a gear and the clutch went out. Well, you're not going anywhere when the clutch is out, right? But anyway, back to the Acadia. It was a pretty nice vehicle. It looked pretty good. You know, you can shine it, you can wax it, you can wash the mud off. The engine seems to be fine. But when that tranny doesn't engage, you're not going anywhere. And so this morning, I thought of the illustration. I would assume that everyone's personal spiritual life is fully engaged this morning. I would like to assume that. But sometimes I slip up. In times past, I've done a lot of things that were just sheer embarrassment. But we can push that Acadia around. We can call our friend to tow that thing around, but the transmission still has a problem. And you know, you can tow the thing home and per chance that thing might slip into gear again. And you go. And you come back. And then the next day, you know, it'll hardly go, or it'll go in second gear but not fourth. In fact, recently, I brought a car down from Akron, had a guy repair it. It had engine issues. We got the engine up and running to discover the transmission won't go into sixth gear. But they can drive it in, you know, 40, 50 miles an hour, which works pretty good in the city. But if you want to go on the highway, it won't go full speed. So, I'm not sure where you find yourself this morning. Do you feel like you came here running full speed for the Lord? Do you feel like you're just rejoicing with those that are rejoicing? Or, you know, you're just here. Did you look forward to coming here this morning to hear the Word of God? Or what? Did someone have to tow you in here this morning? Or maybe somebody pushed you here. I don't know how you came here this morning. I have no idea. Romans 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of what? The gospel of Jesus Christ." So why wasn't Paul ashamed of the gospel? Because the gospel is what? The power. It's the engaging. It is the power to everyone that believeth. What does the word ashamed mean to you? What does it mean to Webster's? I looked it up. It can be used as a noun or a verb. Is that correct, Josh? The meaning of ashamed is feeling shame. Now, part of me says I would like to talk to the children. And I would like to be able to see your faces. But has any one of you ever been embarrassed? Has any one of you ever been ashamed? Sometimes before I speak publicly, my children will say, I hope you don't embarrass me. Or you did embarrass me today. But there's no, oh, it's probably just me and my family. Has that ever happened to you? Has that ever happened to you? It has. Sometimes I embarrass them. But after a little bit, I'm going to reveal some of the things I've done that has been embarrassing. But if you've never been embarrassed or ashamed in your life, would you please raise your hand? Okay. I think you know what that means, right? Does losing a game, when you're playing a game, when you lose a game, do you feel ashamed? The dictionary says, ashamed means feeling shame. It may mean guilt. It may mean disgrace. It says she felt ashamed for hitting her brother. Have you ever, that's in the dictionary. Have you ever done something like hit someone and then felt shame or guilt or disgrace? I know I've done it. I say things and then I wake up and like, oh, I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. Maybe that'll happen today. Some parents say to their children, you should be ashamed. Have you ever heard of that? Shemdy. Maybe you've never heard that. But mom and dads have said that. I've heard that. The dictionary, as a noun, it says, he, in a sentence, he was deeply ashamed of his behavior. Have we ever felt ashamed of how we behaved? I have. A, painful emotion caused by consciousness of guilt or shortcoming. Feeling ashamed can be a painful emotion caused by conscious guilt. So when we feel guilty, we feel ashamed. We feel embarrassed. A condition of humility or disgrace. Sometimes we feel ashamed when someone humiliates us. When I was a small child, I'm not sure, was I five? Probably five, maybe six. We had a... Okay. When I was five or six, I was desperate to learn to speak English. We just spoke Dutch at home, and I still wasn't going to school, but I would practice my English. And we would have, frequently we would have English, non-Dutch speaking visitors at our house. It was a common event. And I was desperate to learn to speak English, but it didn't come naturally. It wasn't my first language. One day someone came and I wanted to tell him something. I also wanted a little bit of attention from him. He was an adult man. And I walked up to him as an innocent child, and I said, every time I ride my bike, my cat just runs off. Cat means chain. I forgot. I should have used the English word chain. He had no idea what a cat is. But all my siblings stood around and they heard it. They were very swift to remind me that that wasn't completely English. So please forgive me. Dutch still is my mother tongue. But that was humiliating because they continued to humiliate me. They continued to bring that up. We still talk about it today. But for many years, it was humiliating. Today, it's just a joke. Or it's just, we have fun with it. But it was something with the energy that I had and the anticipation and the just something that it was ornery. And I don't know that my family meant to humiliate me that much, but they kept bringing it up. And I'm like, well, I know it was a chain, but why did I say cat? I don't know. It just slipped out. So we slip up sometimes, don't we? Have you ever slipped up? Probably not. I have many things that I've done that I regret. Shame can be used as a verb. To bring shame to put to shame by outdoing. Sometimes we just want to be the winner because we want to embarrass someone else and prove to them that we're better than they are. I've done that. Shame to force by causing to feel guilty. Sometimes we push in. And we want other people to feel guilty because of their mistake. And we put them to shame because of something they've done. Synonyms to the word shame are guilt, regret, remorse, repentance, self-reproach. If we look at synonyms as a verb, it says to chasten. To cheapen. Sometimes we cheapen someone else. Sometimes we lessen, like we make someone else less than us in order to shame them. Sometimes we degrade others. That's a synonym. Sometimes we discredit others. I find myself crediting myself. So others look like they have less credit. When we shame someone, it's a disgrace. We dishonor them. We humiliate them. Humiliate is a synonym to shame. To sink, to lower, to take down. Sometimes we... Sometimes we wish we were up and others were down. Maybe that's never happened to you. But I've caught myself with the wrong mindset about my own needs. When I was a small child, I was very sick. My appearance was very comely. I was embarrassed to look into the mirror. I didn't like my own image. I was embarrassed with my dad's haircuts. Or so I thought. Sheepish. Sometimes I felt sheepish, awkward. distressed, disturbed. Sometimes I felt unsettled. I don't know if you connect with any of these words. They're just words, right? Or are they feelings? Are they emotions? I was ashamed or embarrassed of my face. Sometimes at school, I was embarrassed because I couldn't catch the ball. I couldn't hit the ball. Maybe I didn't practice as much as I should have. But I didn't enjoy playing ball because I wasn't, yeah. But yet, I would strive to fit in at school. There was that peer pressure. I remember once, most of the boys took their shirts off to play softball at school during recess. And I felt the pressure, so I took mine off too, to my shame. And it was a disgrace to my father when he discovered it. So I embarrassed him. Sometimes we're afraid of getting mocked. Sometimes we're worried what people think about us at church. It used to bother me a lot. I always wanted to fit in. I always wanted to do what the others are doing. I didn't want to stand out. Sunday mornings was always a struggle for me to try to decide if the other boys my age will wear a mutsu suit or not. Like if there was a whole row of boys and they all wore a jacket, a suit coat. If they all wore a suit coat and Jason was the only one without a suit coat, and I was sitting there with a white shirt, it would just kill me with embarrassment that I misjudged. I thought, well, it's surely too warm to wear one this morning. But the rest of them came with their jacket and I didn't have mine. That I felt shame. But then the next Sunday, I thought, I'm going to hit it. And I wore my suit coat and all the others thought it's too warm and they left theirs at home. And there I sat, the only one with the suit coat. That was embarrassing to me. Now, I'm just being honest. I mean, is this foreign language to you? I can't help it. I'm revealing myself to you this morning. Those were thoughts I had. And as a young child here today, maybe those are thoughts you have. Maybe you're worried about the other families or the other children. Now I'm going to tell you some worse things. At school, I struggled to keep my mind on my work. My mind would wander home to the farm, the fields, the livestock, the birds, the plowing, the harvesting. So at school, it was a struggle to focus and to pass the tests. It was a struggle to study enough to pass the tests. So did I catch myself? Doing what? Peering over at the other students when they're taking the test and grabbing the answers from other people. I didn't come up with my own answers, but I borrowed them from others. That's called cheating, my friends. Is that cheating? I would cheat in school. And I would feel guilty. I would feel ashamed. I would feel embarrassed. It may not be that easy when you homeschool. But in school, we were lined up, rows of desks, shoulder to shoulder. And unless the other student covered their paper, and if you were lucky enough and you sat next to a grade A student, you would surely hit a B. But it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you hit a C and a F or something like that. But it's called cheating. Is there any chance that we can borrow the answers from our brothers and sisters in church? Is there any way we can pass the test by cheating in eternity? Sorry, did I say that clearly? When we get to eternity, is there any chance that we will have eternal life because we borrowed the answers from someone else? I had another issue that I'm embarrassed about. My mom always kept cookies in a container in a certain place. I don't know if we ever ran out of cookies. But usually in the evening, it was time to go to bed, and we'd want a snack on something. Or we won't make it for the night. We just had to have something. Now at our house we normally ate supper earlier, like 5 or 6 o'clock. So by the time 8 and 9 rolls around, you're hungry again. But it's bedtime. And you have to get to bed so you can go to school the next morning. And we also had to get up and do chores before school. Milk the cows, feed the calves. And all that. So we had to get to bed early. Mom, what can I have for snack? Well, there's white crackers over there and water. Mom, may I have a cookie? Sometimes yes and sometimes no. But believe it or not, there were times when the answer was no and I stole a cookie. And I felt guilty. I felt bondage. I didn't feel good about that. I felt embarrassed or I felt ashamed by stealing a cookie without mom's permission. As a teenager, I did a few things that are embarrassing. Maybe I should say a lot of things. I'm not going to say all of them. But as a teenager, I went to pick strawberries out at Rob Slavos. And I also worked at my Uncle Nelson Weaver's, and we picked peppers and beans. But because of my pride and myself, I wanted to attain and be as good as the others. The others could pick fast, but I found myself slow. The others could outdo me. Maybe they could pick 100 quarts of strawberries in a morning, and I would have 34. Or, I don't know, I just always felt like I was maybe lagging, couldn't keep up. And I kept wondering, how do these others do it? And so I felt left behind. I remember going to Hillcrest Orchard picking apples once. I think I lasted one day. I mean, the rest of them were picking apples like nobody's business, but I don't know why I couldn't pick apples that fast. But anyhow, here's the point I wanted to make about the strawberries. I remember a few times I was embarrassed with how few I had. And so I lied. I said I picked more than I actually did. And then I figured, well, so on a day when it's not competitive, then I'll write down the, you know, I'll subtract that and things will even out. So I didn't actually really steal strawberry, getting paid for some, but it was, there was pride there. Have any of you done anything that stupid? It was sheer stupid to not say the truth. So when that paper comes around in the evening and everyone else has 100 quart, 70 quart, 90 quart, and I have like 34 and I write down maybe 60 so I don't embarrass myself. And then some more convenient time, I will subtract it off, and but at least I look good at that point of pressure or not as bad. What in the world is inside a human being that would cheat and lie? I had a hard time figuring it out. I had a hard time walking straight. Sometimes today, as a dad, as a husband, I feel weak and ashamed. Some years back, not so long ago, around 7 years ago, I was hauling a load of round bales of hay. And I came up from Alliance over 62 and came down there at the Hall of Fame, and I wanted to get onto that exit going south. And in that on-ramp, my load shifted, and I threw the whole 17 bales of round bales out into the highway. By the grace of God, my truck stayed straight, and there were no cars there at that moment. But when the law showed up, they condemned me. I felt embarrassed. I felt a knot in my stomach. They threw the books at me. They accused me of things that were impossible. Like if you looked at my charges, they said something about going down a one-lane road the wrong direction. And there's all kinds of stuff, accusations they threw at me. Believe it or not, I ended up serving 60 hours of community service. They wanted to punish me. And the reason for the punishment was that I was required to have a CDL for that kind of equipment and load rating, and I was unawares. I had just purchased a new truck, and I didn't understand the law. And so I failed the law and the system. I felt embarrassed, I felt ashamed, I kind of felt dirty because the law had condemned me. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the what? The power of God unto what? Salvation. I look back and I see myself as a rusty, dirty, broken old clunker. I have a verse for you in Psalm 34, maybe a few verses. You can just turn to Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. When I look back, I had a lot of fear, guilt, and shame. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I look back, and I was in a lot of trouble. I had a lot of troubles. I had a lot of problems. But I cried out to the Lord. He heard me. I cried out to the Lord. I didn't borrow the answers from someone else. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. These hostages were clearly delivered by who and by what power? The power of the Almighty God delivered them. He blinded the eyes of the guards. They cried out to the Lord. They sought the Lord together, and he brought clarity to each one of them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Sometimes we need a tow. Sometimes we need to call our friends and say, hey, the universal joint broke. I'm sitting down here in Cambridge. I need a ride home. Sometimes we need a tow. Sometimes we need some help. But this morning the question is our transmission engaging? Is it fully engaged? And is the power of God reigning and ruling in your life and in mine? The second word we want to take a closer look at in Romans 1 verse 16 is the word gospel. So if I'm not ashamed, what am I not ashamed of? Some people look at me and they say, Jason, du schämst dich nicht. I've sure done enough things to be ashamed and embarrassed about. But I will have an answer for you why I have less shame and why I'm less embarrassed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. I'm embarrassed and ashamed of my own flesh, but I'm here to tell you I am not ashamed of the power of my God. Because he can take a sinner and he can cleanse him. He can clean him. He can change him. He can remove the old heart and mind, and he can give us a brand new one. He can put a new transmission in. You can wax the car and shine it as much as you would like to, but if the transmission is broken, you're not going anywhere. Gospel. What is it? What is the gospel anyway? Webster says the gospel is the message concerning Christ, the kingdom of God and salvation. Salvage. The gospel can take a sinner, of pride and flesh and self and arrogance. And the gospel can save him. Webster says the gospel is one of the first four New Testament books, or it is the first four New Testament books telling of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Webster says it is an interpretation of the Christian message. For I am not ashamed of the message of Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because the gospel is power. It is good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. If you came here this morning and you feel embarrassed and you feel ashamed about something in your life, the good news is you can be salvaged and you can be set free and you don't have to be in bondage to your flesh and the wickedness and the stupidity that this flesh can get into. We must come. The gospel of Jesus Christ says that we must come to the point in our life where we hate sin. If we don't hate sin, it's going to continue to reign within us. We can continue to wax that car, but if we don't get in there and repair that old universal joint and change that thing, the car's still broke and it's not going anywhere. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel is that he hates sin, we hate sin, but it brings bondage to us. So how in the world can we get free? Let me tell you, there is power over sin. We can be free. We can be set free. We don't have to come to church feeling embarrassed with what kind of jacket we have or don't have. Or if everyone else is wearing a certain something and I just, you know, I wasn't thinking and, you know, I had something else and I don't know if I fit in or not. But we don't have to come to church feeling lack of power. We can have power. Knowing that God has set us free from our old ways, our old sin, our old habits, our old flesh. But there are many gospels that want to come in. Let me read a few verses. Just listen to them. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5 says, For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Even Paul, he wrote those verses in Romans, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul used to persecute the Christians. He used to kill them. But he discovered there is a power available, a power that changes his life. Listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. God's power was demonstrated in Haiti. His power was demonstrated. We didn't go there and retrieve them, but God brought them back to us with his power. The gospel is not about being wise with man's wisdom or having enticing words, but the gospel is getting a new transmission. 1 Corinthians 4, listen to this one. Verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What is that power? Hopefully, we will get to that. The gospel is the good news. And sometimes we tell people good news, don't we? Have you heard so-and-so is expecting a baby? That's good news. Have you heard the hostages were released? The world knows those hostages were released. It was on the news. It was broadcasted. That the power of God has set them free. The news might have it tweaked, but the truth will come out. But the gospel that I'm not ashamed of this morning comes with a power other than just the word. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It's engaging. It's driving. We have nothing to be ashamed of. If the power of God has salvaged our soul. I was lost, but now I'm found. So why should I be embarrassed about you? I'm embarrassed of the things I've done. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I know it is the power unto salvation. There are many other powers, there are many other messages creeping into the churches today. Have you ever heard of the gospel where people go out and they ask someone, do you want to go to heaven? And the people say, sure. Well, follow me in prayer. And they follow you in prayer. And then you ask them, so if you die, where will you go? And they say, heaven. Is that the gospel? That's a false gospel. The gospel says, repent from your sins. Study to show thy way approved, a workman, rightly dividing the word. And it says, follow him. We need to follow him. We can't just piggyback off of someone else. Have you children ever played the game have you ever piggybacked or leapfrogged? I think we have. Or somebody sits on your back and you crawl around and kind of buck around like a horse. I think we used to call that piggyback. Is that right? There's no way you're going to piggyback on someone's back and get eternal life. There's no way. The gospel of Jesus Christ contradicts everything that man has ever tried to do. The pure gospel contradicts everything that man has ever tried to do. We will never wax our car enough to get that transmission to engage. You can clean that old Acadia. You can clean that thing as much as you want to. But if the transmission is not engaging, you're not going anywhere. But you have a nice car. You'll even have an engine that revs and roars and has, you know, it has a lot of high RPMs. You'll have all that. And you can rev the engine. But do you have the power of God in your life? And are you living in victory? And if you're not living in victory, and if you crept in here this morning feeling ashamed, maybe you should consider believing that the power of God comes through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is not your righteousness, friends, that will save your soul, but it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that brings us to the power of salvation. It's His righteousness. It's not the wax and all the fancy stuff that you and I can do to cover for the stupid things that we've done in our past. There is no other gospel, and I'm not ashamed of it. When Jesus Christ sets you free from your sin, will that be a secret? Let me tell you. I have an illustration I use in the city. But if you're from Amish country, you all have seen cows. And cows give milk. There's a lot of people in Holmes County, they depend on a cow for their income. They milk the cow and they sell the milk and they pay for the farm. But your righteousness and my righteousness are like milking the cow into a woven basket. And you can milk that cow all day long into this basket. But you will never have milk to put in your mouth. You will never have milk to give to your children if you milk the milk into a basket. But it's time that we start milking the cow and catching it in a bucket. And the milk has value when you catch that milk. But when you just put it in the basket, it has no value. I just had that conversation this week with a Muslim. He's like, yeah, Jason, your religion is so pure, but our religion is like milking the cow into a basket. There's no value. There's no power there. There's rampant flesh and sin. But there's outward and verbal religion. So when you get set free from your sin, is it a secret? Sometimes people buy these things. They're called dolls. They're an imitation of a baby, right? We buy these dolls and accessories for our daughters, right? Sometimes us boys play with it too. But we like to take these dolls and we buy toys for them. We buy bottles for them. We buy blankets. And we even have a hairbrush. Sometimes we change the diapers on these little fake dolls. And we play and pretend that we have a baby. Like we pretend it's drinking milk. But is it? It's not. Sometimes we pretend the diaper's wet. But it's not. Right? Oh, she's crying. Oh, the baby's crying. Right? Oh, give it a milk. It's crying. Oh, now it has a messy pamper. I'm here to tell you, when Jesus Christ salvages your flesh and His righteousness covers your righteousness and your righteousness is gone, and his righteousness prevails in your life, it's not fake. It's not artificial. I mean, when I heard Kennard and Ange are expecting a baby, I was excited. And the day finally came when their baby arrived. Were we in question if it arrived or not? Kennard, may I see your baby? Like, can you lift it up? So if I bring my doll back there, do you think, Kennard, you can tell the difference between the fake and the real one? This one, I can cry for it. I can pretend to cry for it. Wah, wah. But I'm here telling you, too many people are faking. Too many people are faking. And they're not real Christians. Because there's no power in their life. Because they're trying to use their own strength. And they're not depending on the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When God does a work in your heart and in your life, you're no longer ashamed of the power of the gospel. Did you hear that he made a commitment? Have you ever heard that term? Did you hear he made a commitment? Nobody knows what did commit. Like, the question should be, did he repent from his flesh and his sin? Did he turn away? And did he follow Jesus? And is he depending on his right, on the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Or is he depending on what? Did you hear he made a commitment? And it's this whisper and this secret. But I'm here telling you, I've done some horrible, embarrassing things. But I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ because I confessed them and I believe that he forgave them and I was set free. Do I still slip up sometimes? Yes. And I still have to be sorry. Repentance becomes a way of life. Being sorry becomes a way of life. Seeing our own undoneness, that we don't have the power, but he has it. Romans 2 verse 4, it says, God's goodness leads us to repentance. It's his goodness that he reveals the evil, the selfishness, and the pride within inside of us. Joel chapter 2. Verse 27, just listen. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. If we are one of his, should we be ashamed of the gospel? If he really changed us, should we be embarrassed? We're only embarrassed when we don't reveal the truth about ourselves. But when we start and we learn to reveal the true self, now all of a sudden the power of God comes and brings courage and hope. Romans 5. In Romans 5, verse 5, it says, hope maketh not ashamed. Romans 9 verse 3. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you believe that his righteousness saves you, then you, why are we ashamed? Why are we ashamed to tell people what Christ has done for us? Romans 10 verse 11. Believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. In 2 Corinthians, it says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power unto salvation. And when that power salvages us and when it changes us, we lose our personal. There's not really that need to, it doesn't matter that much what others think about my clothes. When we see our own unrighteousness in light of a holy God, we lose our shame. I'm going to read a verse in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Sometimes we're ashamed of telling people who we are. But I'm here to encourage us. We don't have to be ashamed of how we dress. We don't have to be ashamed of how we look. We don't have to fit in. If we go places, we don't have to fit in. We've traveled quite a bit in the U.S., and depending where we go, people look at us like we're from Mars. People look and their heads turn and they're like, what kind of people are that? But I'm here telling you, girls and women, you don't need to be ashamed if you love Jesus. And you don't need to be ashamed if you honor and respect your mom and dad. And you don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. But you also don't have to be ashamed if you follow biblical principles. If you order your life after the scriptures and the principles that God has given us to follow, there's no shame because it is powerful and it keeps us safe from following our flesh. I will not be ashamed of what? The gospel. What is the gospel? And why not? Why am I not ashamed of the gospel? And the reason that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it took my shame away when I trusted in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'll close with a verse in Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So friends, there's no need to be embarrassed or ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you.